took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Well, welcome to another edition of Glorious Day. David Frankur here, Pastor David, and
Pastor Barry.
Yes.
How you doing?
The two of us here, just talking about Jesus, whom we love, and we hope you love him too.
Mm.
And we are still on the theme of the last three programs, which is the storms of life, and kind of taking different angles and how to look at that and biblically to encourage and edify our listeners. And tonight's the title of tonight's program is Sharing Christ, Trusting God.
Love it.
Oh, man, me too. Yeah. And Barry, would you read the scripture?
I would love
to. Get us started, please.
This is Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths.
Mm.
Mm, wow.
That's two verses, but man, it's packed with mm-hmm. meaning. And to me, it speaks of, in fact, I got to say, I'm not really good at building things, Barry.
You got a toolbox? I've seen it.
Yeah, I've got a toolbox, and I've got tools in it, but, you know, they don't jump out of the box and do stuff on their own.
I know that feeling. My wife starts biting her nails and reaching for the phone when I get my tools out.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, mine too. But I have built several things that I really had an idea. I wanted to build them. I thought I could put it together, but if I touched it or leaned on it, it would fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have good memories about what this verse 5 means. Don't lean on your own understanding, particularly when we're talking about, a perfect God and his perfect wisdom. And that's what we need, right?
Right.
But if we don't listen and we step out in our own wisdom, we're doomed to failure.
Not only doomed to failure, but if we're truly out there presenting this gospel and bringing Christ to everybody that we meet, and yet we lean on our own understanding, we're doing them a disfavor because it's the gospel according to me.
Right.
And I'm not that smart.
Yeah.
And a perfect example is when Christ was tempted in the desert.
Mm.
He didn't lean on his own words to shout at Satan, his own understanding. He leaned on Scripture.
Yes.
Because that's where you're going to find the truth.
Amen.
Yeah.
And that's, we all know that we need help.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to the work of the church, the body of Christ. This is a godly, perfect work. For fulfilling a perfect plan that began tens of thousands of years ago.
Yeah, and it's holy work. It's not our work.
No, it is. You're right. It's holy work.
Holy work.
Which always amazes me, Barry, that we get back to the point of it's holy work envisioned and, kind of got going and continue to be nourished by a perfect God, and yet he chose you and me. And people like us, you mm-hmm. know, because the most, if you can think of the smartest person you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, or maybe you look out into the news of the world on the internet, whatever, maybe you type in, who's the smartest person in the world? And somebody pops up, man or a woman, doesn't really matter. But point is that even they, on their own, cannot address appropriately how to respond to the call of God without God's grace becoming involved and God's wisdom being imparted to us, which he loves to
Amen.
Do.
Amen. And I think that is one of the roadblocks, or maybe even speed bumps is a better way of putting it, where it precludes people from going out and evangelizing.
Amen.
Because maybe they don't trust themselves. They know they have a strong ego, or a poor self-image, and well, I can't go out. I'm not smart enough to go out there and bring this message.
Yeah,
I have too many issues to deal with on my own.
Yeah,
and me. There we go.
Exactly.
You know?
That's what verse 5 is really talking about. And often, when we hear God speaking to our hearts, we get a sense of what He wants us to do. The call is given clearly. But if then we turn to our own mind,
mm-hmm.
and we get afraid, and we're looking for excuses, you know?
Right.
But you look at this, folks, listen, if you'll read the Bible, if you haven't been doing it already, it's probably gathering dust on a coffee table in your house somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's in great condition. It's ready to read.
Right? Great condition. In fact, the words have never been read before, yeah. So they're nice and bright, you know. But if you will go and just read, for instance, go to Jeremiah, the first chapter, where it's in the first chapter that Jeremiah's telling the story of God reaching out to him, God calling him to be a prophet.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he says, depending on the translation you have, you'll say, I can't do that. I'm too young. I don't know what to do.
Mm.
And then if you go to Exodus and you read the story of Moses getting the call when he was out with his father-in-law's sheep, you know, out in the desert, and the mm-hmm. bush was burning and he was attracted to it. And there he encountered the living God who was going to call him to be a prophet and to deliver his people, you know, to the promised land. He said basically the same thing. Amos, if you go to Amos and you read what he's saying, you know, none of them start out by saying, hey, God, that sounds like a great idea.
Yeah.
I want to do this.
I want to do it right now.
You know, no, they say, I don't think I can do it. I don't have the training. I don't have the words.
Well, when you hear Moses saying, you know, I can't speak to the people, but my brother Aaron,
yeah,
all I can think of is Mel Brooks. Now, Aaron, there's a guy.
Yeah,
have you heard him talk?
Yeah.
Wow, amazing speaker. Yeah. You know, but we all sometimes will do that. We'll take the back seat. I'm a chaplain in nursing homes, and I've got a group of fellas that are just on fire for Christ, and we have a Bible study and a church service and sports talk, and a few months back I challenged them to go bring the gospel out around the building, and they did it with doubt. I mean, they went out there saying, well, I'm in a wheelchair, I'm a little older now, I've had a stroke, I don't speak clearly. But they did it anyway, David.
Yeah.
Sorry. And what they did was they went out, and wherever I told them, wherever someone is crying or wherever the Lord sends you, be aware, open your eyes, open your ears, and move your wheelchair forward. Do not worry about the words that you will be using. Don't worry about not being smart enough. Just do it. Well, they came back so on fire and so excited.
Wow.
And every one of them had a story to tell. That someone didn't know Christ, and they were the ones who got to have that divine appointment with him.
Wow, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is why, you know, we talk about that God's calling gets us going, gets us. He wants us to be moving,
right?
You know, forward and in the direction that He is pointing, and He'll take us there as well. But this is where that verse 6 of Proverbs 3 comes in. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. And the best way to unpack that is to say, when you say, in all your ways acknowledge Him, meaning acknowledge His perfection, acknowledge His perfect wisdom, acknowledge His power, and in fact, acknowledge that this work belongs to Him first,
mm-hmm.
but He is involving you in it because He picked you from before you were born. He picked you and He put certain spiritual gifts in you, in your spirit, to come online, if you will,
right.
After your baptism, and to serve Him in that way, and to every day to recognize not only you're doing that, you want to give Him the glory and you want to trust Him, but you must also remember, you know, that it's from Him first. He's not going to say, you know, I'm taking the day off, David, so go to your own mind and your own wisdom and do this thing that I'm calling you to do. Well, God would never say that, first of all, because number one, He knows it would be a disaster if if just on my own I did that. But it's trusting then, it's serving, sharing Christ. That's the work of the church by and large, right?
Well, you know, it's not a circuitous path either. I think that we make it circuitous. We're the ones who say, well, today I'll be obedient, but tomorrow I've got something planned. I've got to do this, that, or the other thing. And I can only use my own life as an example where I was called at the age of 18 to do this.
Mm-hmm.
David, that was a long time ago.
Oh, an incredible.
And I went to college for something completely different because I thought he was speaking to my brilliant friend Scott or John or Ted. But and so I didn't listen at the time. And it would have been a straightaway path, but I waited till I was in my early 50s to finally look up and say, I am so sorry.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, David, when you don't answer the call and you put it back on the shelf, you'll never be completely happy or have complete joy or complete peace because he stands waiting.
He does.
And you've taken this straight path and you just made a huge U-turn or a right turn or you're green laning it on the side of the highway. You just completely missed the mark. But, you know, God is forgiving and merciful. And in my case, he certainly was because I came back. And now this part of my life, I'm serving him.
Amen.
And I recognize right off the bat that I'm not perfect.
Yes.
I have my own issues and weaknesses. And he's using me anyway, David.
That
he's using me anyway.
Doesn't that just blow your mind, bro?
Yeah. Yeah.
I need to tell you. You know, that, and he's happy doing it. This is his plan.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes it work. But it is, again, it's when we acknowledge him and acknowledge that it's his knowledge, it's his will that is crucial. And the other thing is, you know, when I say that, I've got to say, some people say, oh, I can't, I have so much hard time discerning God's will. I mean, it's like, you know, I could do crosswords before I could, you know his will, because I don't do crosswords very well. So that'd be my challenge.
Mm-hmm.
But to say, wait a minute. So let's back up and say, if you're trusting God, then guess what? He's going to make sure you understand, because he knows you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he knows what you need to know.
Understand with not only our brains, but with our hearts and our souls that we, you know, because some things are hard to accept.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're asking me to do what? You know, you and I both know a young preacher up north of here. I don't want to blow his cover, but he was called to the priesthood, and he was supposed to preach, and he had one of the worst cases of stage fright I've ever witnessed in my life. You could hear him sweat when he stood in the pulpit, and I thought the young man was going to have a heart attack. But he had certain gifts that the Lord had given him, and I counseled him about using those gifts, one of which was he was a fabulous teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, so why don't you just go to God's people and teach, and please don't preach. That's going to give me a heart attack. And he approached it with the gift that God gave him, and he's very successful.
Well, I've been privileged to attend some of his services.
Yeah.
And he has an incisive way of presenting the gospel because of his teaching.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Jesus was a powerful teacher too, preacher and teacher. So,
amen.
It's to use the gifts you've given, and that's exciting. We just, and at this point, we just want to, you know, assure your listeners that God's got you. If you will just say, Lord, show me what you want me to do, he will show you. Now, will he do it in the nanosecond after you stop asking? I don't know. I can't tell you.
It's best to pray with your watch in a drawer somewhere.
Really? Yeah, put it in another room in a drawer.
Yes.
Yeah, because we're all tempted to say, okay, I'm ready now.
Mm-hmm.
All right, God, you got 5 minutes. No. carve out a regular time of prayer every day. I get up early enough in the morning that I can get at least minimum half an hour. I love for an hour, and I do various things in that get me into the Word and get me into the contemplative prayer. And then I have a Christian playlist, music playlist that I listen to.
Okay.
And man, I'm telling you what, I've found the right tunes, and it just gets me into the throne room. That's one of the ways that I, with worship music, that I get into the presence of God.
Amen. I do that in my car, particularly if I'm having a day that's not that particularly great.
Yeah,
and I feel like maybe I drifted a little bit, and I'll put on a couple of songs that I love, because it is praying with your ears. You're listening to this, and you're in the moment with Christ. And,
amen.
And we have that.
Yes.
Thank God we have that. And this station here, over and over and over again, I've been driving down the road, David, and maybe having a challenging day, and I put on WCNO, and wow, it's like you guys read my mind. How did they know?
Yeah, they read my mind occasionally, but it's light reading. but I, well, I got to tell you one little quick story.
Okay.
Because generally when I'm driving, I'll listen to the radio. If it's if I'm in our broadcast area, I listen to WCNO. But yeah, several years ago, in fact, I can tell you the date. It was August 10th of 1994.
Oh, my.
Okay? Mm-hmm. We're coming up on the, I forget what the anniversary is, but that was the anniversary of my first ever and only speeding ticket.
Ah.
But here's what was happening. I was driving to, I was living in Gainesville at that time. I was driving to Jacksonville to meet another friend in ministry up there in Jacksonville. We're going to have lunch and have some good fellowship and stuff. Mm-hmm. And we sat on various committees, and we're going to talk about some of the work we were doing. It was kind of a work fun day.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm driving down Highway 301 heading to I-10 to go into Jacksonville. And I'm just, there's music, Christian music playing on the radio, and I'm just having a good old time, and I'm driving, I'm pounding on the dash, you know, my one hand is raised in prayer. I didn't want to take both hands off the steering wheel. And as I'm driving, now, 301 at that point is like a four-lane highway with a median in the middle. There's a highway patrolman driving in the inside lane on the other side, and I see his front end go down, meaning he's stopping quick.
Right.
And then his red is a yellow. I'm not yellow. What other color do we have? Blue.
Blue. Blue and red.
Blue lights. Those are all the colors of emergency vehicles, by the way. But this one happens to be. Back then, it was what they call a bubblegum machine. You know, it was one big blue light.
Oh, like on Andy and Mayberry.
Yeah,
yes,
well, kind of like that. Yeah, really. And so I said, that's me. And I looked down at my speedometer, and I was doing 72 in a 55.
Oh, okay.
And so I was kind of hoping and praying. Then I would say, oh, Lord, please, may it be somebody else. But no, in fact, it was me. And I pulled off the road. He got, you know, and he told me what I was doing, and I kind of said, I already knew that. I was very, very compliant and very penitent, you see, all at the same time, because I knew I was speeding. But that was the only time that I was in the spirit driving and I got a speeding ticket. So
the music was so loud you couldn't hear God saying,
I couldn't hear God say, slow
down,
right? Slow down, don't be, you know.
A little too much enthusiasm.
Too much enthusiasm. But, you know, even then, what touched my heart after that was God did speak to me and say, I want you to slow down. He said, you have an arrogance about you when you're driving. I said, oh, really, Lord? He said, yeah, I didn't know that. He said, yes. He said, you think you need to be at a certain place and you have to go to a certain speed to get there, how important you are, when in fact, no, it's not that important. You need to be safe.
That's right.
And I'll tell you what, from that day to this, I am very careful.
And you're an excellent driver. I've driven with you.
Thank you.
You and I, if anything, we'll probably get a ticket for going too slow now.
Well, yes. But that was, you know, I don't know why that story maybe is not relevant to some of our listeners, or maybe it was entirely helpful. I don't know.
So, well, someone may be out there getting a ticket right now,
well,
listening
to
it.
They may be, or maybe a law enforcement officer is listening to this. and this, you know, next time you have a traffic stop, and as you're pulling up behind the car, you know, to hit your lights, you see their hands in the air, and you know that they're probably praising God.
Oh,
well,
okay.
That would, yeah, determine how you might deal with that. But and by the way, since I didn't plan on being on this point, but I want our listeners to please pray for those in law enforcement. They're under attack from a lot of angles, and it's very distressing for many of them. Their job is less and less safe every day, and there's no such thing as a routine traffic stop. And if you've watched the news and stuff, you know that that's true.
Amen.
Pray for these people. pray for them because they're the ones that run to the problems instead of away from them. And yes, in any profession, there will be people who denigrate it. As pastors, Barry and I know of pastors who've done that in our profession. It's sad and lamentable. But by and large, people in law enforcement are dedicated public servants who put their life on the line every day. We need to pray for them.
Yes, we do, because when they leave that house, their family doesn't know if they're coming back.
Exactly. And the same for firefighters and anyone that's a frontline person, including the medical profession. There are people right there every day fighting the COVID and the other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Again, running to the problem to try to help and putting themselves in harm's way. Let's remember them, folks, please. And if you're one of them, thank you for your service.
Amen to that.
And get back to that. We wanted, you know, the thing that was most important is in all of these things, the Holy Spirit is a gift given to the church so that we might be able to know what to do to serve the Lord, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus promised in John 14, I won't read all the verses, but, well, I could, I suppose. He said to his disciples, he said, he was talking about the things that he'd spoken to them while he was still with you. He was giving a lot of direction and guidance. But he said, but the helper, the helper is the Holy Spirit. The Greek word is parakletos, which means to come alongside of. He said, mm-hmm. The helper is going to come alongside of you, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. And this is crucial so that we, as believers, it's incredibly important that we recognize this and open our hearts to the Spirit of God every day.
That's important right there, David, every day. Because it's so easy to drift away. And life is so chaotic and so noisy, and we get so distracted.
Always. Yeah, it is.
You know, and it's so easy to fall into that trap.
Yeah.
Lord, I'm going to pray to you every night at 7:35 p.m. for the next 4 weeks. It's just a pack. And next thing you know, it doesn't happen.
Something happens, or you come home from a hard day at the office. Or
you fall asleep.
Or you fall asleep, yeah, and suddenly that goes out the window. I mean, it's great if you can have a regular thing. But what's more important is to be regular with God in prayer and to open your heart, literally submit your life, body, mind, and spirit, as Jesus calls us to him. And the gift of the Holy Spirit, we ask. He's not going to force anything on us. He would never do that. He's a gentleman, this God, our God. But to seek and ask for the Holy Spirit. And most particularly, and we talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. This will be a whole segment, a whole series of things down the road to talk about that.
I'm already looking up verses in Scripture for that.
Okay, good. I'm glad you're ahead of that.
I know you, David.
Oh, man. Good. You are good, Barry. Excellent. You know, I love that. I love the interchange we have. I talk, you talk. People comment on this. We just have a little, like, 2 minutes looking at the outline, the Scripture we're talking about, the theme for our segment tonight for this show. And then we let the Lord, and this is really, I'm not going to say this to our glory because we don't have any.
That's
right. To God's glory that he gives us his Holy Spirit so we can do this.
Amen to that.
For you.
Uh-huh.
This is for you. And
I just found I thought of a beautiful prayer, David, because the Lord's speaking to my heart is that people just need to get on their knees. They need to get on their knees and empty their minds, empty out all the stuff around them. And with a pure heart and a contrite heart, I have a following prayer.
Okay.
Lord, here I am. You told me to seek your face, and so I am seeking your face. I don't know what it means, but I ask you to reveal yourself to me. I need to know you personally, face to face, the real you, not some image I already have in my mind. So here I am. Show me yourself, because I need you.
Jesus.
More than solutions, I need you. More than answers, more than guidance, more than blessing, more than anything, I need you, just you. Here I am, Lord. Please show me yourself. Through Christ we pray.
Amen.
You say that prayer, it's opening the door and removing your ego and preconceived ideas, all the stuff, and just having a pure moment with the Lord. Because you're asking You're asking for something personal.
Yeah.
Let me see your face.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go there first.
Yes.
And then from there, we'll build our relationship.
Amen.
Powerful stuff, David.
But it's powerful. It's incredibly true, and the things we need to know. Well, our time is almost up. You know, it's actually the prayer you offered is a great prayer to close our this particular program with. And
well, if we still have a few minutes, I could sing for you or a hum.
All right. Have children leave the room if anyone's listening. No, you probably sing better than I do.
Well, I don't know about that.
You know, I'm hoping to get my voice back and praying about that. Some people are saying, what, you got a voice? I'm listening to it right now. But it used to be a lot better than this. So keep listening because you might hear it improve because I've been asking God for a blessing on that.
I've been continuing to pray for your voice, David.
Thank you.
I continue to pray for a miracle, that your voice would be so powerful we wouldn't need these microphones, that the viewing area, the listening area up and down the coast would hear you without a radio.
Wow.
That's how powerful I want your voice to be.
Okay, that could create other problems, though, brother. So I know that's God true. Will give me what he wants me to have, and that'll mm-hmm. all be good.
Very good.
But friends, thank you for listening. Our time is about up. So until next week, and keep in mind, we pray for you all every day. Pray for us, too. We need God's guidance as we perform this ministry, broadcasting the gospel, lifting you up, because God loves us all. He wants us to have the best, always, and he's going to provide that from a variety of sources.
And I encourage you to give God the glory and all praises, because when the praises go up, the blessings come down.
Amen.
God bless each and every one Amen. Of you.
And have a blessed day and a blessed week, and we'll be meeting again next Sunday.
Amen. Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word,
that we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified,
and receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move
and his perfect plan is unfolding in our time. Give us our